Network. I'm Justin Horner, joined by the Triple OG, William Mason, and the Undisputed
Podcaster.
Podcaster of the world.
We did it.
Lukey Stowe. So obviously Lukey's our producer. People have been asking to see, you know, at least hear his voice.
Yeah.
We've gone one better. We've got him on camera today, but we've got a special announcement. There's something big happening in the podcast boxing world. So Lukey, give us some more information. Tell us about details.
So there's a little fight night coming up, boys. And they wanted you to get involved.
Yeah. Of course. Triple OG.
Triple OG.
Yeah. No, everyone wants Triple OG for a boxing fight.
You brushed
43, like, mate.
Exactly. Jeez. So look,
I'm out of my prime.
I've stepped up for the team.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of my little glass box in there. I've been trapped.
Yep.
It's hot. You got air conned in here.
Yeah,
how
good
is this?
It's nice, yeah.
But yeah, stepping up for the fight. Shout out to the boys at Alpha Blokes that are putting on a fight night. So we met them up at Magic Round.
Yeah, great lads.
Great lads. They're in the vlog. So they're putting on this big event, Gold Coast Convention Center. So
is it Knuckles or is it the Alpha Blokes? Is Alpha
Knuckles is a part of it too. So they've created like a company for it. So it's called the Podcast Royale, the couple of the biggest podcasts in the country. So biggest podcast
in the
country.
Who are you fighting?
He's from the casting couch, I think.
He's building it up, Mace. He's
building his I want to know him. I genuinely don't know him, and I want to hate him.
No, I'm not too sure of really who they are. They're from this podcast. I think it's called like the Casting Couch or something like that.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if they
get Pornhub.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they film out of their like their mum's basement. So,
I like that. Any nerves? Like, I know you've just been announced, but how are you feeling about it? You excited? You nervous?
Exciting. Yeah, it's been a fun couple of months. Obviously, you did the marrow. Well, you did the marrow. I did the half. So, been trying to get healthy, get fit again. So,
it's another goal for you, right?
Another goal. So, April 27, Gold Coast Convention Center, Alpha Events, and Jamie Meyer Productions.
When are you going to start your camp?
Pretty much straight away.
You in camp now?
Well, not really now.
But like, how many times a week? Let's get Terence Trent Derby Day out of the way.
100% after Derby Day.
But you'd be locked in after that?
Yeah.
Six months.
So we've got plenty of time.
Ages.
Yeah, right. Not stressed at all.
Let's get him training with the great chain.
Yeah, you got to get with Trent Langlands, mate.
Yeah.
He'll be great for you. Movement and everything like that. The bloke won't know what's going
to
get him.
Trains Harry Garside. Maybe you can get some tips from Harry doing some movement stuff together.
We collab with Elab a heap of times. Yeah, so I'm sure that he can help you out.
So we're doing heaps of stuff. The run club's obviously the best thing you can do for boxing. Yep. Is have good cardio. Yeah. So I'll be out trotting, not going out on a Friday as much as I have been.
Bro, I mean, 6 months is a long time to know, but it's good to prep. Like,
just
get you. But you've been prepping anyway for the last what? You're off the piss for 3 months.
All
you did was just get back in the lab, get your fitness right, get your health right. So you're mentally there. So that's great.
100%. So super excited, keen to get amongst it with the boys and like the Alpha Blokes, bloody brilliant beers. We've got
good
We
people.
Mean Well. We've got the Reggie's Dead Ass Podcast, Almost a Man, Daily Blue, Marty and Michael. There's plenty of podcasts, two vlogs. So if you're in that, especially if you're in that Queensland part of the world, because it's at Gold Coast, those guys are massive.
Yep.
All those podcasts up there do so well and they've got such an engaged audience. So for us to be a part of it's pretty cool. Have you two in the corner,
Yeah, 100%.
Fucking oath, Don't fucking lose on behalf of Level.
You can't lose,
bro.
You're
not alone with this.
You're staying Gold Coast.
I don't lose. So. Right, rip into the show.
All right,
just straight off the bat, obviously, get behind our boy Lukey. I'm quietly confident, I know he's ready to go for this. And I've seen what in a short space what he's able to do for the half marathon.
Yeah.
And where he went from his running. So 6 months.
He's got that dog in him.
Mace, you've done some.
Yeah, it's good, mate. They're just good for you, really. Yeah. Like, there was never really a fight I went into where there was like that much animosity and hate.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difference there. I watched that the fight on the reef a couple of weeks ago. I was like, fuck, Nas like just came in there with some bad intentions.
Yeah.
Like Junior Paulo and that. They're in there to fucking fight.
They're knocking each other out.
Yeah, bro. Like I was there going, because they're current players, man. They still got it in them. Like I was, I think the fights I had, I was like, well, I think I was playing with Newcastle and I think I thought Troy Flabber. We had mad mutual respect. We weren't going to try and knock each other out.
Yeah.
Now it's different, man. They come in there, man. They're fucking balls on the line. It takes a bit to get in there. Like fucking Jared Wallace. I mean, he's a dog, man.
Yeah,
he went at him, bro. Like, everyone just sees that uppercut that Big Nas got on him.
Yeah. But I thought he lost his teeth, but it was just saliva, wasn't it?
That's and then like Benny Hanna, he's fighting me. One of the best blokes in the world. He goes, I've got to fight. I've got fucking 10 kids. So he's going in there with Junior Paulo, mate. Big shout out to Junior. He's an absolute gun.
Dog.
But Benny Hanna's got some balls, bro.
Yeah.
He goes, you'd do anything for 10 kids. He goes, you got to fucking feed them. It's expensive. It's expensive. Right. So, yeah, anyone who gets into the ring gets my utmost respect, man. Nothing but love for you, Lukey. So, good luck. And I'll be there helping you.
So will I, mate. And hopefully all of our subscribers, or 19.6K of them. So we've got an extra 200. We've got an extra 200 jump. This is our second last episode for the year, by the way. So get us to 20K. If you've got some mates that have been watching, or you've been watching, you haven't subscribed, we've got a few comments. People are like, oh, I didn't even realize I've been watching you guys all year. L1's from day one.
I only just subscribed last week.
Only just subscribed. You did.
Yeah. So you can be forgiven. Yeah. It's all right.
Also with our Levels Run Club, it's been great. Five weeks in a row, really stoked with the community. Got some really cool stories of people that got involved. In particular, there's one guy that really stood out last week. I won't share his story because that's, you know, private, what he's been going through. And just for him to come down, we are having a break this week because we have commitments with the TAB for Derby Day. So we're going to be down in Melbourne Saturday morning, which we normally do it. But what I want you to do, if you have been coming down, still get 5K in around where you normally run. I'm going to take my runners down and do something down in Melbourne. I don't want to create an event that I don't know the area all that well. So I'll probably go for a run on Saturday morning. Make sure I'll post it in the Strava Club to let you guys know that I got after it as well.
Hey,
I did my 5K.
Cut this out. Our flight's at 1 o'clock, right? On Saturday. Oh, Friday. Fuck yeah. Don't worry.
That's all right. Yeah. So yeah, we leave just for clarification.
Yeah, I think we can get it before.
We leave Friday afternoon. So I'll be training Saturday morning down there. I'll run 5K. I'll post in the Strava group. So if you have been coming to the runs, a couple of big boys, they're making some really good progress.
A couple weren't even doing like 5K. Yeah. What, 2.5, 2 and a bit. Now the third or fourth week, ripping in the 5K. It's great.
Yep. So make sure you keep it up. Keep it up. As always, follow us Apple, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok,
Facebook,
Facebook. Yeah. We're on everything. So love the support. Two episodes to go, so let's get into it. Right. Our first, not so much question, but some information on Dom Young, because we were asking about Dom Young's situation last week. He had a sinus infection. This is from UK Adam 100, affecting his brain. Lucky to be in camp, I guess, because they were able to, look after him in hospital for a week. But fully recovered, fully expected to recover soon. England versus Tonga has been very competitive. England have been saved by good performances, especially debut halfback Mikey Lewis. So he's a Hull KR player.
Yeah, he goes played really good in the first test.
Yeah, not played roughly 60 games. He looks like
I didn't know he was that young. He's a rookie, right?
He's pretty 22 much years
two, old. Been in two game for 2 years.
That's his second English cap. So he's played the two caps. Yeah. He's played at Hull KR, who have been emerging over the last couple of years. Before that, he was at York City in the grade block.
Yes.
So Mikey Lewis looks a real player of the future. We're going to get later on in the show, I'm going to break down all the players that are off available, and I'll read out the names to you for November 1. It is November 2nd right now, November 2nd. We're going to go through all the lists, and I'm going to chuck in an English Super League player. I think there's a changing of the guard over there. There's these young emerging players, and I've got one in particular who I think will be a hot commodity.
Yeah, good.
So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Thanks for the update, Adam. This one is from Brethren. Brethren. Hey, boys, do you think that the Luai signing with management is indicative that he wants to go to another club? Why would he sign with the management and forfeit a portion of the salary that Penrith had tabled? It was quite clear they weren't going to go much higher, and they didn't. They only went extra 50K from their original offer. They signed with Entertainment.
Black money.
Yep. Okay. On the flip side, maybe it's indicative that he is going to re-sign with Penrith. Penrith might have added the 50K to cover his management slice, and Luai's management will help with third parties, etc. Just trying to get my head around the whole situation.
Give me some context.
He had a deal in front of him, and he signed with a new management, which then released that contract, and the new management now will take care of the new contract, which he is available to negotiate with rival clubs as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. Would love to hear your thoughts. So,
okay, well, here is the thing. I'm not sure who his ex-manager was. He obviously wasn't happy with him.
Yeah, I think that's
what it is. And he knows this contract is going to be the biggest of his life. And it's pretty much, you know what? You're not doing that much for me. I'm fucking big on social media. All I need is someone to renegotiate my contract. A 4-year deal, hopefully, you know, generational changing money. And that's what he's doing.
Yep.
Like, he's got these other guys helping him out. They mightn't have done much for his career. I'm not sure, but I mean, usually when it comes to this contract now, and you're not, this relationship's not good for the last 10 years, and you just can't wait because you can't wait to get out of your contract or wait for it to end. Obviously, it's not. It hasn't been a happy little road there, right?
I agree with you 100%. So you agree with me? Like, my take was going to be on, don't worry about him staying at Penrith or leaving. It has nothing to do with it. It's more to do with he's about to sign a big contract, and no matter what, he just didn't want that old management company
getting all that money, right? Yeah. Like that's all it is. It's money now. He's going to sign a 4-year deal. It's probably going to be close to a mil a year, something like that. And it's like, this is life changing money.
Yeah,
and he deserves most of it. And I'm not sure what sort of deal he struck up with Black Money. Might be just like less on the percent. It might be just the, I don't know, like something's sweetened the deal on the Black Money end where he's like, right, that seems like I fit better there than there. There's a plan for Black Money for him.
Yep.
There's no plan with the other side.
I think yeah.
That's the only way you can look at it. And yep. I know, and people, players have been in this position a lot of times, and I know what position they're in. That's why I can sort of speak on it. I'm like, okay, well, he hasn't been happy with this bloke for years. He's only come into his life when he's off contract.
Yeah, could do. Yeah, that happens a lot.
We had him since he was like 18 years old. You know, that's what's happened.
You know what? You know what's? I think the strongest thing in management these days, when you look at maybe I don't know which management. I didn't look into it, but if you've got a shitload of either talent, young kids that are coming through, and word of mouth, he looks like he spends a lot of time, or he's got really good relationship with Latrell and Cody from his time playing for New South Wales. And I think that's obviously played a factor. I think in this day and age now, if you're a emerging management company, because they're still emerging. Like
they've been around for a bit.
Yeah,
10
about
years.
The last 10 years. But now they're starting, like, they've got top-tier
making
players.
Making moves, man.
And when you've got top-tier players at the top of their game and they're putting in a good word for you, it can only help.
You just want to be respected and loved by your management. Not see him every 2 or 3 years when you're off contract. You want them to be making moves for you off the field, giving financial advice, setting you up off the field, because you're only in this game for a minimum time, boys. You know, and you've got to set your life up after footy because it ain't going to last forever. And Black Money must have a plan like that for all their players. Same because if it doesn't, because if they don't, a lot of players will start leaving.
Yeah,
you know, they seem to be gaining. Other people seem to be losing.
Yep.
So something's happening out there.
Must be doing something right.
So they're doing something right.
Yep.
Other management, when they try and get so many players, it just dilutes everything. And they don't have enough time for the other guys, unless you're the big dog, right?
Yep.
You know, like, and they're not caring about the guy who's just signed a 3-year deal at, you know, $400,000. Like, it's not much now. You've got to be that million-dollar player now to get all the attention from these managers. Then you've got the old school managers like Sammy Ayoub and Daryl Mather and all these guys. They're from like the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, they're all set. They've got other people working for them. They've got this new wave of management. Armin Mary, you know, like Mehi and Tyron Smith, all these other guys. Braith and Asta.
Yeah.
Great guys because they've got time.
Yeah.
And it's more quality.
Yeah. It's almost.
And quality time.
Yeah. It's quality. So it almost be like.
The care factor.
If I'm a younger player, especially if I'm a younger player, almost like hitting my prime and. You're going to be in the top bracket. I'm almost looking at those other guys, guys that are coming through, because they can, you know, that I'd rather, for sure, rather have a manager that's probably got 5 or 6 clients, you know, that he can manage your dealings as well as, and you want him directly too. You probably don't want the old school system of, you know, having scouts and different management. Like if you sign at a company, you want their big dog.
Yeah, man. It's changing the guard with management.
Yeah.
So these younger guys are coming up, you know, they're about like my age, a bit older. They understand the game.
Yeah.
They understand. They're not sitting on their laurels of or what they've done in the 90s and 2000s and stuff like that. All those older blokes are sort of going to the side. Mm. They're getting in their 60s, man.
Yeah.
Time for a new age.
Nothing.
They just need to be cared about.
Yes.
These new managers actually care. You're a commodity. You can make me money. I make you money. All that kind of stuff. You're a team. That's what Black Money is. It's like a brotherhood there.
Yeah, for sure. They're building it for sure. This one's from Jimmy Reed. Hey, lads, do you see South lining up next year? How do you see South lining up next year? I can see it being very similar, but there's also a big chance for change. Hawkins was really good for the New South Wales Cup and then won the state championship. Will that put pressure on Ilias? I think Ilias is the player that's under the most pressure for sure. Trell was always under scrutiny. And now with Whiten arriving and being so versatile, do you guys see him slotting in the centres and pushing Tass to the wing? Or they've got that young kid, Munro Mace, who looks a real player of the future. I think he'll get more footy this year. Would love to hear your thoughts. Cam Murray also scored 6 tries in 6 straight games for Australia, and that's predominantly been on the edge. So there's a lot of moving parts at South next year. Yeah. Like it seemed pretty obvious at first when they signed him. Well, for me anyway, Campbell Graham on the right, Jack Whiten comes and plays centres. I like Latrell at fullback. I like Cody Walker at 6, and I think Lachie Ilias has still got a big future. But what Jack Whiten does, he gives him so much versatility. He can play centres, fullback. Apparently, he hates playing fullback, so you almost got to rule fullback out. 6, or you could. I think, you know, the older Jack Whiten gets, he could. I think they've got a real problem on the left edge. You know, they've been playing Jai Arrow on the left edge back row. They've just re-signed Jai. I think Jai's
a lock, bro.
I love Jai in the middle.
Jai is a lock.
Yep.
He's a locker, he's a middle. He's a front rower, he's a 13. You put Cam Murray on that left edge. Easy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you can fix it. Yep. But they will not fix anything unless they get front rowers. They'll finish where they did this year. They'll struggle a little bit.
Yep. They're lacking size. I think
they Harmay Saleh and all these blokes were gonna ascend. Totola, ascend. They're sort of like plateaued a little bit. I'll forgive Totola's year this year because of injury.
Yeah.
I think he'll have another big season and he'll come on. You've got Tom Burgess, you know, he's getting a bit older, mate.
When Tommy misses games, you can really feel it.
He needs a fucking, you know, little dog with him.
Yeah.
Like you need a little bit of depth and a bit of size there.
They signed Sean Kepi from Manly. Yeah.
Good defender.
Yeah, off the bench.
Good defender. He's a good role player.
Do you think that's like enough
him.
Size?
No, for it's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough. And you know what the thing is? You can't get a good front rower.
No.
You can't. It's not like, I'm not saying this shit like they haven't developed anyone or anything like that. You can't go out and buy a Tino or Payne-Haas or Adenfanua Blake because they're locked up. That's how important it is to NRL teams to get front rowers.
Do you like Payne that Haas. Davey Mwale?
Yeah, I do, man. Yeah, it's all right, but I'm waiting for him to take that next step, level. You know, the next step. None of them are taking that next step. Tom Burgess is still starting. Bro, he needs help.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not going to do much with a great back row and the best back line if you don't have the big bookends up the front destroying teams.
On like, if you start like, if you just say, we start putting that. So if you go, you could potentially look at a team, Latrell fullback, obviously AJ on one wing. Then you've got either Tyrone Munro or Isaiah Tass on the wing. You've got Jack Whiten, Campbell Graham, Cody Walker, Lachie Ilias, Cam Murray either on the edge or in the middle. Left we swap edge. With Jai Arrow. Yeah. So whoever plays.
It just depends if Jai Arrow goes to the front row, then Cam will be lock.
Yeah, okay. So
that's the only reason why is because they have no depth at front row. And Jai Arrow is a fucking dog. He just doesn't stop. But he's a lock because he's the third sort of prong, right?
Yeah.
You got two big boys up the front, then he can get the ball in the third play.
Do you think if you moved Cam Murray to an edge, put Jai at lock, they'd lose a whole heap because Cam Murray plays that really nice shape through the middle?
It's hard, man. Mm. It's hard because I love Cam Murray the way he plays. And on his best day, he's probably one of the best locks in the game.
I agree.
Because he's got footwork both sides of the ruck. And I want him attacking both sides of the ruck.
Yeah, you need him involved.
Because if he's on that left edge, you can game plan for that. Because he ain't going to go on the other side because you're not allowed.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Unless you kick it down his edge and he's going to get that play 2 or 3 and just straight into 4 guys.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you do there? It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Cam Murray, it's going to be hard. I'd like if he was locked because he can attack both sides of the ruck, and that's where he's the most dangerous. When he's playing for Australia, when he's playing for New South Wales, he can sit on an edge because everyone it's the best of
so
the best.
Stacked.
Everyone's stacked, you know.
Paddy but when Carrigan,
you
put,
everyone does their job, and the gaps you get your one on ones in the Australian team. That's where he gets his one on ones because everyone's running the right line, people out the back, a lot of diversion here and there, and he runs the perfect line.
Mm.
Like he's a great player.
You know what I'm thinking? The more I'm thinking about it, though, because whenever I watch a South game, he just tackles himself to a standstill
and
as well.
And I'm not sure how long Cam Murray is going to last in the middle.
Well, that's
for another 3 or 4 years, bro.
That's what I'm worried
that's
about.
That's all he's done is tackle and like 80 minutes, like fucking – he's averaging just say 65, 70 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Every game. He's very durable as well.
Yeah.
And
what about this? I think you'll like this one, Mace. What about he starts on the left edge to start the game? Yeah. That way it keeps him out of all the shit to begin the game. And then when Jai Arrow has his first spell at the 30-minute mark, because Jai can play big minutes, flip Cam to the middle, bring an edge back row onto the edge, and then he can play without – so he's not taking that
There's ways around it. I was speaking to Gus the other day about just say where players – like I used to defend in the middle and then attack wherever I wanted to. And like there was just ways that just say if you needed to go, okay, just defend at the at left four for the first half, Willie, and then start Sonny at lock, you know what I mean, or in the back row. Do you know what I mean? And then
you could spell each other.
And then, yeah, like, and then go back in the middle. Like, it's interchangeable. Like, knowing – Cam Murray can play on an edge, defend left edge, right edge, and in the middle.
Yep.
You can say, Cam, just play the first 50 or 60 or whatever, left edge, attack, just defend at the left edge.
Yep.
But attack wherever you want.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's ways around it. It's not like, oh my God, he can't do that.
Yep.
You can defend at right four.
The elite players can play anyway.
And attack wherever you want.
Yep.
He can do that, Cam Murray. You don't have to plug him in the middle because he plays lock. He can have 13 on his back and defend at left four or right four and then attack wherever he wants. Like, I don't think that's a big deal. You're not going, holy shit.
Yep.
Like, players can play. That's what you play. Don't be dumb. And Cam Murray is one of the most smart. He's one of the smartest players in the comp.
He's probably one of the most versatile. Yes,
and
in the
versatile.
Comp.
So you can get away from that initial fucking barrage in the middle easily.
Yep.
Just get other people, plug and place, and do your job.
Well, I don't know if we solved that for you, Jimmy, but we're throwing more options at you anyway.
We solved it.
It is November 2nd.
Listen to us, JD.
JD, you know. Hey, love you, JD. Mate. All right, it's November 2nd. So, Mace, I'm going to go through all the players that are currently available to sign for the following season in 2025.
Yeah, right. So that's the rule. So just say right now.
Right now.
So some people who don't understand at home, right now, if you're contracted, even like just say Luai or anyone who's got a 2 or 3 year deal, you can potentially get out of your deal. Is that right?
No. So you're off,
if you've got
one year
to go
after 2024. 1 year to go.
You just got one. You ain't got 2 years. It's just one year.
Yep. So the players at the Panthers are starting from the bottom, working their way down. Jerome Luai, Sunua, Taruva,
Taruva's
Luke Garner, Matt Eisenhuth, Mitch Kenny, Paul Alamotti, Taylor Maig, Tyron Peachy, Zach Hoskins, Dane Laurie. So some big names in there. I've highlighted obviously Jerome Luai, Taruva, and Mitch Kenny, I think, is a big one for
who,
you know, obviously you priority, because I'm going to ask the priority for all the teams. Jerome stands out, I think, for because he'll be in. I've got a top 10 after this as well. But out of Taruva and Kenny, do you think they're able to keep both those players?
Easy. None of them have got rep jerseys anyway, you know? So you can just go, you can cap them. You know, Kenny, all right, he's 350 or something like that. Taruva.
Taruva's been playing for Fiji.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I know. Yeah. But like,
as in
and he's a winger.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a winger. So they'll probably get 250, 300.
Here's where I think it gets tricky with Taruva. I think a lot of teams will look.
They will, but do you want to win, mate? Mm. That's the culture that they've got there. And then negotiating when you're sitting at the table opposite.
Yep.
Do you want to win or do you want to go home and go over somewhere and get bottom four every year?
Yep.
You've had a taste of what success is like. Totally different on the other end. Go there for more, for 100, 200,000?
Yep.
Your whole legacy's dead. They'll give this to you. This is the spiel they'll have in you. This is the culture. This is the club. You can win here. We win, blah, blah, blah. You can go somewhere else, get 100, 200 grand more, because they ain't going to offer him double of whatever Panthers are going to offer him.
Yeah.
And no one's going to do that to Mitch Kenny either.
Well, here's my thing. I think, you know, salary cap is definitely going to put some restraint on them. I don't think they'll be able to if they just say Jerome's done, because he would be their priority.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to Taruva or Mitch Kenny.
Taruva. Because they will just go next on the wingers.
Yeah.
And then outside backs.
Okay, so priority would be Kenny.
Yeah, man.
Would be Kenny.
Because he's a gun nine.
Yeah. And can
he's
play
a top 5-9, can play lock, hits like a truck.
Probably I also think he's got origin. I think he can play origin in the future. Yeah.
He could be an origin player.
All right, the Broncos have off contract Adam Reynolds, Billy Walters, Brendan Piakura, Corey Oates. He's got a player option in 24 and 25. Deloise Hoyter, Ezra Mamm is a big one. Jock Madden, Jordan Rickey is another big one. Kurt Capewell is a big one, but he's getting a little bit older. And Marty Tupperwell. I've highlighted Adam Reynolds, Ezra Mamm, and Jordan Rickey. For me, and this might be controversial, I think their priority is Ezra Mamm.
Ezra Mamm for sure.
Purely because of the age of Adam Reynolds.
Purely because he's a gun and he's a better player as well.
Mm.
Like, he's freakish. He's 20 years old. Come on, man. Look what he just did. He's a future rep player. He's the future of the Broncos. You're probably going to get 1 or 2 years max out of Reynolds. Reynolds. Like, he's there for it to game manage and get him through games. you know, took a hit this year in the grand finals, copped a bit of shit. He wants to right those wrongs. He'll have 2 years.
How long, yeah, do you reckon 2 years is the ceiling for, yeah, for Reynolds and some of these players? Because we're going to get down a little bit later on. We've got Chad Townsend involved as well. Some of these, like,
well, he's like,
you've seen how valuable they are. Shawnee's going to be off contract, obviously, as well.
Well, similar to, like, just say what they did in the NFL, where you can't really touch halfbacks anymore, right? They can't pass
quarterbacks.
The ball. Yeah, you can't touch QBs anymore, right? So the halfback, they can, as soon as they pass the ball, you cannot hit them, you know? So that fear factor out when they go to line, like, you know, Reynolds, they dig into the line, but they, you know, they're not like JT or Joey digging right into the line, copping massive hits and no one gives a shit. So there's no, you know, you could probably get through a game, unless people are just spotting you up all the time in defense, you can get through games without fucking really getting tackled that much, right?
Yep.
Like, especially Reynolds, he's one of the best at getting through games and evading contact.
But, you know, as you get older, mate, it's less about like the games, it's the training, it's the rest.
Yeah. Like, Reynolds could play it, but Reynolds could play for another 3 or 4 years at this level, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Because he's got a great team around him of young dogs who just want to get after it. But if you spot him up, like Penrith did, nonstop, then you'll get at him. But it's hard to get him. It's hard.
He's tricky, man.
He's a tricky little – he's tricky. He can get around the field unreal.
Yeah.
And going to the days where you can hide your right three, right?
Yeah.
Everyone needs to be able to make their tackles.
Correct. I agree.
So Jordan Rickey, he's the future. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But Ezra Mamm, he's the dude. Like, what is he? He's 33, Reynolds, right?
33, yep.
So 34 next year?
Yeah, he'll be 34 in July. I've got the dates for all the players in my top 10.
Depends how long Reynolds wants to play as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's already won a premiership.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know he wants to win with the Broncos.
I think he would love to win.
Of course he would. Of course he would. And he knows the window is 2 years.
Well, here, let me ask you a question. If he does indeed win next year, do you think he sails off into the coaching ranks and just starts coaching at the Broncos?
Maybe. Because he's been around for a minute, right? Yeah. How many games he played? Close to 300.
Yeah, he'd be close to 300. He started the year before me. I think he's
2008 or 9 or something like that.
I think he's 2010, 11, the same year that I started. As for the Storm, they've got Nick Meaney, Aaron Panay, Joe Chan, Marion Seve, and I think Remus Smith is a player that's, yeah, not too sure about Remus. He fell out of favour with Melbourne last year. Injuries. He's been injured there a lot. But I think when he's at his peak, he's a really good right centre for him.
Oh, he's a gun. Mm. He just needs to be fit. It's hard when you come back from a major injury, come back and just try and be that dude before. Nothing was really working.
Mm.
You end up getting dropped. So
Marion Seve,
a little bit of fucking resilience
jumping
now.
On the pecking order. Yeah.
Bit of, you know, go through some resilience, get back in the lab, work harder on your game, get better. Now I think you'll bounce back this year and get that New Zealand jersey back.
The Warriors.
Everyone else. I don't think it's a massive priority.
That's why I didn't mention anyone else. The Warriors, they don't really have anyone of, like, they've got Sean Johnson, but Shawnee's getting old, and Shorty alluded to on the coverage that next year could be his last year. He basically said, I'll paraphrase him, but he was talking about he's glad he come back and didn't retire when everyone was telling him to retire last year. I think, you know, if you sort of read between the lines, he's talking this could be his last year. Yeah. I could be wrong. Dallin just re-signed. He was on this list. He re-signed last night.
Awesome.
Luke Metcalf is another one. Tohu Harris is getting older. Jazz Tavanga, I think, might be the player that they'll be looking to keep and build around. Freddie Lussick, Jackson Ford, and Vailangi Kepu. So,
yeah. A lot of older guys, a lot of journeymen. Those guys, right? A lot of those guys, especially if they're a little bit older, they're not leaving, bro.
Yeah.
And New Zealand will play on that.
I think Tohu and Sean, if Webster wanted to keep him, might sign 1 year deals, just seeing how things
just
are going.
Yeah,
how
you go. The culture that they're building there, it's very important to have those two there for the next couple of years. I think Sean Johnson's got another 2 years in him just off his effort this year.
Yep.
And his confidence levels, and the confidence in the system and the coach, the other players around him. He doesn't have to be the man. You know, even though he was the man this year, he doesn't have to be all the time. Just play your game. Just play your game. Do exactly what you did this year.
I agree.
Because everyone else is going to do their job.
No. So, Lukey, we can't hear you as well because I heard you say
Shawnee's Instagram post. No.
Yeah. I heard you say Shawnee's Instagram post. No. What was it about?
Yeah, he was alluding. It was like Last Dance.
Oh, is he doing Last Dance? So, yeah, that's pretty much. So, Lukey was saying that.
How old's Lukey? How
old are you, 31, Lukey?
How old's SJ?
SJ would be 33, 34 as well. They all started the same year. Chez, Reynolds, they're all like 10 and 11.
Now, Chez is the oldest. He's 34. 35 next year.
Yeah.
Sean Johnson ain't. I think he's 32, turned 33.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Knights. Off contract, Bradman Best, I've highlighted. Dane Gagai is getting a little bit older now, Gags. Anari Tuala. Jacob Saifidi, I've highlighted. Christian Mapalangi, Matt Croker, and Tyson Gamble. Leave Tyson Gamble alone, mate. Jacob Saifidi and Bradman Best. Jacob Saifidi, both these players were really good in Origin 3. And Bradman Best has been offered big money.
Who buy, I wonder? St. George? Is it?
Tigers apparently are big on Bradman Best, and I would dare say that a team like St. George would be keen on Bradman Best.
Would he
want
to go? But
you've got to get the number
built,
right.
What they built this year, and he sees a future in that club. He's played at Newcastle in the semi-finals. He's a Newcastle boy. You sort of want to like.
I think he's Central Coast, but close enough. Yeah.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
You know what it's about. He's a junior there, so he knows. Like, he loves playing for Newcastle. Still young, man. You want to give that sort of. You want to give that roster red hot crack. See where we can go.
You think their roster, because they've done. I think they've got a good job of managing their roster salary cap wise, right? You got, you know, Gamble doesn't. He wouldn't be on much. Jackson Hastings, you think probably wouldn't be on like top tier seven money.
No.
They just re-signed that Phoenix Crossland, who's developed into a good nine this year. KP's obviously big, but then they've also gone and done a great job. And I've said this all along. The team's down the bottom going and recruiting English players in Kai Pierce-Paul. I think he's going to be a real player for him. A Wigan Warriors back row. And also Leon Price's young fella, Will Price, who's a bit of a jack of all trades.
Yeah. Well, same as Leon Price. He can play fullback, wing, centre, carve you up everywhere. Yep. Played against him in his prime. He's dangerous.
So I can't see them having a shitload of money anywhere outside of probably Tyson Frizzell, maybe. And Gags would have been on really good money before this season, for sure, to get him for
Gags
himself.
Gags got next year, Gags will be 34 when he 33
Gags
this
is
year.
Gags getting older as well.
Gags been around for a minute. He was here when I was there, 10 years ago. 2012, young kid just come down from the Broncos.
Yeah.
He had a great career.
If it comes down to Jacob Saifidi or Bradman Best, because there's been murmurs that they've been looking at moving Daniel Saifidi now for a while, I think it's got to be Jacob Saifidi.
You'd keep or you lose?
That he'd be my preference to keep.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Because as I said, it's hard to come across world-class front rowers, and he's a world-class front rower.
I agree.
He's an origin player. He's a borderline test player. Like, if he strings a good year together, he's always in origin. Like, they look at him like that. You know, he just had about six games before origin, seven games, bang, straight in.
Yeah.
Like, that's how highly they think of him, the selectors. So they see a lot of talent there.
Well, new staff as well. But, yeah, he's been super consistent. And
Bradman Best. Like,
a couple
I want
of
to
years
another,
ago, Daniel was the guy down there. And then Jacob.
Injuries, right?
Yeah.
Both of them have copped a fair bit of injuries in the last couple of years. It's derailed them a little bit to their rep honours.
Yeah. The Roosters off contract. Big one, massive one. Joey Manu, Angus Crichton. The Cheese, Hectic Cheese, has a player option for 2025. So it's up to him whether he takes up. And I think that's interesting, because just the season probably hasn't panned out how he anticipated it when he first arrived. So I've got him a little bit later on. Terrell May, I think, is going to get a lot of interest. Daniel Tupou, Jared Roy Hargraves are getting old. Kez is also getting old. Luke Keary, Nafour White, he's on the extended squad for the Kiwis at the moment. Nat Butcher. Satili Tupanoa, so some really big names and situations coming up for the Roosters. The priority is obviously Joey Manu, but I think the Cheese one could be a little bit tricky down the road as well. And the player option, I always like it when players have got that.
Yeah, it's good
contracts.
Joey Manu, what do you get offered, like 5 mil from St. George?
1.2 for four, so 4.8 over four.
Fuck
yeah. We'll get to Joey Manu in a bit. Yeah. Let's save that.
I don't know why. I was getting some baguettes from Le Belle Baguette yesterday, and they've always got the Telegraph there or some sort of thing. So I look at the front and back page. I was like, Joey Manu.
Yeah.
Well, Cheese, you have to keep – you got to have a genuine nine. He's that dude. He had a few little injuries this year, combinations. It takes a little bit to get going.
He really started
knowing your
up
role,
end,
knowing your role, and when to pass, and Sam Walker being in and out of the team. That development with him this preseason is important. With Keary, everybody like that. Angus Crichton was missing for a little bit. Like, it's very important to get to nail this preseason. Yep. So I think Cheese will fit into that role quite easily, and he'll probably end up picking his player option up, all that kind of stuff. You know, last year, I'm not going off last year because that was really, it was all over the shop for the Roosters.
Did you like his last five games?
I loved it.
Yeah.
If it come out there, it just takes a minute, right?
Yeah, it
when
does.
You're in a system, when you're in a Melbourne system and it's sort of built around you and the way that you play and Harry Grant and all this sort of stuff, and then it's like totally different.
Yeah.
Like Craig Bellamy's system is totally different than Trent Robinson.
Tell me a little bit about that then, right? Because you played at a few different clubs. Yeah. You were the guy at the Bulldogs and you were the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Did you feel that pressure to immediately be the guy at other teams?
When you have to. Yeah. Like every team that I walked
into. Did it always play out that way, though?
But depends on the system, right? Yeah, okay. So just say the Bulldogs, I was defending in the middle but attacking both sides of the ruck.
Yeah.
I get to the Roosters and I'm put on an edge.
Yeah.
It takes like that fucking thing like Cam Murray. You see him on an edge, they start game planning for you, put that extra man on that right side.
Yeah.
Or if they put him on the right side, that means you got to fucking keep chasing. It's just boring for me if I play right side back row.
So did it take a while to adjust?
Yeah,
that?
So I'm like, and then Freddie started to go, okay, well, I'll push fucking do like you did at the Dogs, defend in the middle, attack wherever the fuck you want. Then I could play both sides.
How
in
long
the
did that take before you realized
about 5
that,
weeks?
Yeah, okay.
5 or 6 weeks. Yep. And then as everything started gelling, you know what I mean? Like, so it's different combinations. It was lucky I played with Braith and Minnie and Fitzy and familiar with the guys in rep football, but it took a while, you know? But like, I can't be just sat on an edge like the whole game.
Yeah.
Because the teams will game plan, put an extra number there all the time, even if you're at the middle of the field. If I'm on a right edge, they'll do the same. So I'm like, fuck. Because you know when the ball's coming, and they just move. They just move quicker. Okay. So you get hit three times instead of like where I could just attack both sides of the ruck, usually. And then it worked out like that. But it takes a minute. New nine, you know, like new team. They don't really know. They know how you play, but they don't know when you want the ball, right?
Yes.
I had Ogre and Roy and Pricey. You know, like I would be just saying the system right now. I don't know where I'd fit. Would I play front row or lock, right? Mm. If I got Marco Mealy and Roy Asatasis as my props, you got Sonny Bill, Andrew Ryan, and myself in the back row.
It'd depend on the makeup of the squad where you played.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you played the Broncos, you're probably playing front row because you've got Paddy at lock.
Yeah. But what do you do with Sonny? Did you put Sonny at second row and just leave him on an edge?
I'm talking about you specifically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So if you look at the – you're versatile enough, like we're talking about with Cam Murray, dependent on the pack. So maybe if you go to the Rabbos, maybe you play that 13 role.
Yeah.
But if you play at the Broncos, you play Flegler's role with Paddy dropping you underneath.
Yeah. And it'd be different to say, just say in that pack, the names I just mentioned, Ogre, Roy, Sonny Bill, myself, and Andrew Ryan. How do you – like sometimes Sonny would just – that's when I was telling you about interchanging and just playing wherever the fuck you fit and attacking where the weaknesses are, not being sat on an edge, like a right edge. Just say Sonny was playing right edge. If we saw the right three, we'd be both spotting inside and out of his inside shoulder, outside shoulder.
Double shape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we just played to their weaknesses, right?
Yep.
If you're sitting there, you're going to get exposed.
Wherever the spot is.
Yes. You just play footy and just never get put on edges. And then Melbourne and that started doing that sort of shit and really structured the game.
Yep.
Where you can have back rows, they can swap wherever the fuck they wanted to. Mm. Now you stay in your lane.
Yeah.
That was your fucking generation.
Yeah, yeah.
You never fucking moved from your right edge.
Yeah.
You would know what it was like over the other side.
Well, I moved because I wasn't a set name, but like Gifty, you wouldn't move Gifty because Gifty was right edge.
But they just
the only reason
you'd
I played
never cross
right,
the fucking black dot if you were right side back row.
Yeah.
Or ball playing lock like him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had his spots and he stuck to that, for sure.
And most of the players right now, they can all do what I'm saying. They just don't get coached like that.
They don't teach them. Yeah, Penrith do it.
Yeah, they play. They play whatever the fuck they want.
It's working for them. The Rabbitohs, off contract, Peter Mamazoulas, Isaiah Tass, Tom Burgess, Isaac Thompson, Michael Cheekham, Shaq Mitchell, Ben Lovett, Dean Hawkins, Josiah Carapini, Leon Tehel, Tane Milne. So... Yeah. Nothing crazy there. Tommy's a big name, but Tommy's coming, you know, he's getting
Tommy's
the back
33,
end.
Bro.
I think I'd like to see Tommy re-sign and be a rabbit for life. Do you know he's the most capped Rabbitohs player of all time?
No, I didn't.
No, that's wrong.
It'd be close. Sutton's 300.
Yeah, Sutton's there. And
Merritt?
No, he was the most capped, because I was speaking to Sammy about it just before he left, out of all the brothers.
Burgess.
But like, that's crazy to think, right? Because you remember when coming
Tommy
through,
wasn't that dude. It was Sam and then George.
Tommy had the question marks.
Yeah.
Sammy was the gun. Georgie has this great 3 or 4 year span. Tommy's outlasted them all. This is what Sam said. He has more games NRL, more games for the Rabbitohs, obviously, and he's got more tests than Sammy and George as well. That's crazy.
Good on you, Tommy.
Shout out to Tommy.
Just keep Tommy. Everyone else is probably just going to have to play out of their skin this year.
They've got too much money in their big name players. Yeah, a lot of these players will have to move on. As for the Eels, off contract, similar situation. Got a lot of money put into four or five core players. So Dejan Arcee, Bailey Simonson, Hayes Dunster, Jiraiya Mamosia, Kyrie Rodwell, and Makihisi Makotoa.
Mm. Very similar. I like Makotoa.
So do I. Mm. So do I.
He'd be good off the bench.
Makotoa was a bit older.
He can start or come off the bench. Yep. I don't mind him.
Bailey Simonson, he did good in the centers.
I reckon he's come in leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Strong. I reckon he's just gotten better. And he'd be my priority, Simonson.
Yeah, out of that group for sure. And I think Dejan Arcee would be nice if you could get him for a reasonable number to keep him as your backup half.
Most of these guys are going to be playing out of their skin this year to get that contract, to get that 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah. I think Parra are going to be good this year.
Which is good. And that's what you need. You need these players here, these role players, some of these names that you mentioned in some of these teams that we're not really talking about. They need to have career best years.
Yeah.
Because that's their livelihood. Mm. Otherwise, you're on the scrap heap. That's how much of a cutthroat it is.
For sure.
If you're not these big names, we're not mentioning your name. We're just going past it. That means you've just got to knuckle down.
Up your game.
Big preseason. Go fucking hard, and then get that contract right.
Another team that's got some really big ones is the Cowboys. Tom Dearden, obviously massively highlighted. Chad Townsend, he's getting into that point now. A little bit older, like some of the older players. Cohen Hess had a really good season for the Cowboys.
Best in a couple of years.
Hylam Lukey has a player option for 2025. Man. Jake Granville, Jake Clifford, Jermaine Tournoir-Brown, Kyle Felt, Sam McIntyre, Sammy Vellame, Tom Chester. So the three I've highlighted that I think in this order, Tom Dearden, I think Hylam Lukey's next in line, and I think Cohen Hess, he's an Origin player, and he's also getting a little bit older. Chad Townsend, I don't think he'd be a priority for the Cowboys. I think Chaddy might be a good veteran pickup for one of these lower-ranked teams.
I think he'll finish off there.
I think
not on that money, but I'm not saying that. No, he fucking will, because that's what the market demands. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to go from 758 to 200.
I reckon Flanner will get him to the Dragons in
maybe.
Depending on what happens with Ben Hunt,
mate. I think Ben Hunt's going to stay there. So I'm just thinking. You're probably going to prioritise Tommy Dearden, right? Mm. He's the future of the club. Face of the club.
Yep.
Deserves it. Hylam Lukey, gun.
Yeah.
Just needs to be on the field. And then it's Chad Townsend.
The thing with Hylam Lukey, and this is what I reckon is a bit tricky as well, though, they've got Luciano Leilua. Mm. They paid pretty good money on the left edge, and they've got Jeremiah Nanai on the right edge. Maybe Hylam goes, I just want to play fucking
He just plays 80 minutes every week. He's a young kid. He's a Cairns boy. Great kid. He just needs to fucking knuckle down. Have a great preseason. Luciano Leilua ain't locked in on that left edge. He could easily come off the bench and play in the middle.
Yep.
He's got a lot. His skill set is high. I just want to see the best out of Lucci because his skill set is very, very high. He just needs to get fit and be consistent.
I think
same as when BJ put it all together, bro. He got 3 Dally M centers of the year. He's a gun.
I thought Luch was really good in the poor year that the Tigers had the year before.
Mm.
And I was hoping he was going to get rewarded with a big season. The Cowboys didn't play out that way through their form. But I think they'll go good next year, and I think he'll have a big year as well. Seagulls, no one really of note. Ben Trbojevic, Christian Tuipulotu, Carl Lawton, Raymond Vega, and Zach Fulton. I thought Zach Fulton already moved on. But, none of those boys are really going to hit the market that hard anyway.
Sorry, I digress back to the Roosters. Tupanua was off contract with Crichton.
Julie Tupanua and
Nat Butcher. Come on, Butcher, bro.
Yeah.
You can't keep all them.
No way.
One's coming somewhere.
I think two of them are going.
Mm. I heard of that. What's her name's done? Angus.
They've been trying to get rid of
him. Until they played in the World Cup, now he's going to stay here.
Well, that rumour was squashed about 2 or 3 days ago. But there is a world in which he still does.
This time last year, he's starting back row for Australia.
Yeah.
He's just been injury ravaged this year.
And again, he also came on strong. Obviously, he had a tough off season, but he also come home really strong at the back end as well.
Still a player that I'll be looking at. He's going to be slept on.
The Dolphins, Anthony Milford, Edric Lee, Ewan Aiken, Mudders Wallace, Jesse Bromwich, Cody Nikorima, Mark Nichols, Mason Teague, Ray Stone, Robert Jennings, Tessie New, and Valance to Mudders. there's not really any player there that really stands out. So
it's going to have to, as I said, they're the ones that you want to have their career best years, because some of these names that we all know these names, they just need to have a massive preseason.
A lot of them are older.
Yeah.
Wallace is old. Nichols is older. Jesse Bromwich is old.
Wallace is valuable, man.
Yeah.
He would have been close. I reckon he would have been their top 3 players player.
Yeah, he had some really good moments.
He would have been up there.
I think maybe him, and if Tessie New can get fit as well, I think he'd be another player that they'd like to keep.
So he's going to be one of those guys, Tessie New, hopefully not. You know, in 10 years, yes, God, I wish I had nailed a preseason or two.
Mm.
Really got the best out of myself.
He's still young,
Tessie. He's still young. I mean, he's one of those guys you'd be like, he would carve in England.
Yeah, he would.
He would carve.
He would.
Here, the week in, week out stuff, that's the hardest thing to do. You've got to be about it all the time.
How old do you reckon Tessie New is?
23.
22.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He's been around for 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, 2020.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, he's at that age, you know, like, he's still getting his contracts and that, but he has so much talent.
Yeah,
I just don't want to see him get wasted.
He's so strong.
I don't know what position he is. With the, I reckon he can really nail down, lose about 7 kilos and be a great centre.
Yeah. I think or maybe winger. I reckon drop a couple of kilos, stay on the wing and just play that.
Toto.
Yeah, Toto role.
I was going to go Marzu. Look at Toto and just go, I want to be that.
Yeah.
Similar build, similar shape. His fitness has slept on.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure he's not the best trainer, but he is match fit.
Toto, no, I heard he's a really good trainer.
Is he?
Yeah, someone was telling me about
it. I'm not saying he's not a good trainer, Sammy. But I'm saying, like, you're not Dylan Edwards' numbers.
No, well, right? Sammy told me, obviously, yeah, Dylan Edwards is a freak. But Sammy told me the most impressive part, because he'd spent some time, I'm talking about Sammy Burgess, by the way. Freddie invited him for Origin 1, and watched him train. Mm-hmm. And he goes, light years in front, the way that Penrith train and their commitment to training, he goes, they go so hard. Brian Toto, Stephen Crichton, Jerome Luai in particular, he goes, that edge when they were competing, he goes, you can see why Penrith are the way they are.
Fucking awesome.
Because they train hard all the time.
Never off.
The Titans have Cleese Haas. I think he's a real player of future. Isaac Liu. I think he'll end up in the Super League. Jacob Alick, Joe Stimson, Fozzie's getting old now as well. I think he'll be done potentially after 2024.
Test series is going to age him to 50. keep him at 9, New Zealand.
I like that Tom Weaver. He's a young kid that played at the back end. And you know what?
Desi's
got a really underrated record of young halves that he develops. Like if you think back to Chez and Foz early on at Manly, then he also had Hocko before that. And then he goes
Chris Keating there.
And then he went to the Bulldogs, had Chris Keating and the Grub, who developed into really solid first graders as well. So interested to see if he can do the same with Tom Weaver.
Isaac Liu is a key up there. I reckon if he has one good, you know, he's got talent.
Mm.
He's a lot of talent, man.
Two-time premiership winner, maybe three.
They just need to I think the coaching of Dez will get the best out of him.
Well, he likes that middle play, James Graham sort of role. Yeah.
So I think he's going to really thrive this year. Yep. I think that's the only guys that I think that I would be really trying to keep right now.
Yep.
That's my priority.
Bulldogs got a lot of journeymen. Max King, Chris Patola, Ethan Kwai Ward, Hayes Perham, Jackson Tapine, Jarrell Scouten, Liam Knight, Reece Hoffman, Toby Sexton. For me, Mace, you're obviously close to this. You spent some time with them, so I don't need you to comment on this one. But again, a bit similar. A lot of journeymen, what you talked about, big years for them. They're going to have to perform because they've got a whole heap of new players that are coming in. Yeah. And I dare say Gus will be looking to make some big moves in the next couple of years as well.
Pressure's on. The blowtorch is applied. So it's just the challenge is out there, right? You just play better.
Yep.
You know, you have everything given to you off the field. Everything's right. You just need to play better, train hard. So it's a great system there. So the boys just need to really buy into it.
And I think it's the same for the Dragons and Tigers. So with the Dragons, Jaden Sua, Tyrell Sloan, Jack DeBellin, Jack Bird, Ben Murdoch, Marcella.
Some big fucking names there. It's a lot of money.
Max Fiongai, Cody Ramsey. I think this is even bigger because Flano will be coming down. Shit. He's going to want to spend some money. And a lot of these players could be moving on for sure. I'd prioritise Jack DeBellin. He's a junior. He's gone through a lot of shit over the last couple of years. I think he's a future captain for him, especially if Ben Hunt moves on. So he'd be the player I'd be going for. Mace, out of any of those names, Jaden Sua, Sloan, Bird.
Jack Bird, I like Sloan. Yep. I like – there's some big names there.
Yeah.
A lot of money, but there's a lot of cap space there. So they'll be looking – as I said, like all these guys, you know – there's no secret sometimes when you see a guy coming out with a ridiculous attitude, like best year ever, it's because he's off contract, right? It's a contract year for most of these guys. And regardless, even if they've got one more year or 2 years, whatever it is, it's like this is it. So all eggs in. Hopefully none of these guys get injured and they can just get on the field and just do the business, man. Because they're all talented. Yep. All these people that are on these rosters. The scouts, look at all these guys, regardless of the big names, the guys that we haven't mentioned, they've all got talent.
Every NRL
every
player,
single player
so
has
play
got
NRL.
Talent.
Yeah.
This is how hard it is to excel and dominate in the NRL because they've all been the best juniors, the best flag player, the best SG ball player, schoolboys, all this sort of shit. Then they get the NRL and they go, Plato.
And even
how
some
the
of
fuck
them,
do I get better?
And even some of them played NRL and gone, fuck, he looks a real player of the future. 20 games later, this is harder than what
you've
I thought.
You've got to maintain. It's hard. It's a fucking, you're never off.
Yeah.
Always on, training 24/7. That's why Penrith is so impressive in this day and age to dominate with four grand finals and win three.
It's a great system.
Fucking ridiculous.
West Tigers, the biggest name is Stefano Utu-Ikimano, which kicks us off, but he's got a mutual option 2025. I think that's a contractual option.
Interesting to see what he does.
Junior Tupou, Asu Kapoa, Sean Bohr, Aiden Caesar, Justin Matamua. That's a club option. Brandon Tumuth, Jake Simpkin, Rua Nakitura. Nati Kora, Sione Finu and Tristan Riley. So apart from Stefano, a lot of guys are going to have big years at the Tigers. And again, another one of those clubs are just looking and seeing to see if any of these players want to say, all right, I want to be a Tiger.
Good breeding ground, Tigers. Mm. Be interesting.
Yep.
Tui Kamano is the man.
Yep.
They've got a good forward pack. They'll be impressive. I reckon they'll be that. Well, we'll obviously go through this next year and all that kind of stuff, but they'll be all right next year.
All right, here's my top 10 with all those names.
Mm.
So number one for me, Joey Manu.
Oh, fuck you.
Joey Manu, 27 years old. He's born in June as well. So if I am going to go after, so the reports are 4 years, 1.2 for Joey Manu. For me, fuck that. I'm going Joey Manu. If I'm a St. George Illawarra Dragons, which is the team that we reported, I'm going 1.5 over five. For a couple of reasons. Here's why. That's $7.5 million. That's generational money, which can help him look after his family. When you look at Joey Manu, whenever he's played, and I'm paying for him not to play centers. He's coming to play fullback, by the way. That's fullback money. That's spine money. He's been relatively healthy throughout his career. He's as humble as they come. Doesn't sink any piss. Never in trouble off field. Glamour, good-looking player. These things matter.
He's marketable.
When you play 1.5, you got to tick so many boxes.
He ticks them all.
Also, whenever he's played a full game at fullback or six,
he runs 3 billion metres.
He runs 300 metres and everyone goes, holy shit, he could be top three at his position. For me, Joey Manu is not only the best centre in the competition.
He's top five fullback.
He's a top five player.
Yeah.
Easy. So I'm paying 1.5 for five because the reason, and it's probably a little bit over his market value because he's
got to have to. You're going to have to, St. George.
No, if you're St. George.
Or anyone.
For also recruiting purposes, but to get him away from the Roosters. Because So this is what people don't understand with the Roosters. They don't, you know, everyone speaks about their paper bags and all that shit. It's not that. It's what you can do life after the Roosters.
Network.
It's the networking. It's all these things that come with the Roosters. So in order to get Joey away from the benefits of what he might be able to invest in, the information that he might be able to get, the people that he meets that can help him life after footy, you've got to throw him crazy money. And for me, 1.5 over 5 years, that's 7.5 mil. And then therefore, when we look at some of these other names, the journeymans, the guys like myself, Mace, when I'm looking at re-signing, and very often a player of my stature is not going to leave a club because you're not going to get crazy amount of money anyway.
Mm.
And you're normally comfortable with the club that you're at. Unless you look at a team and go, oh shit, they just signed him. You know, like fuck.
Yeah.
And if Joey Manu signs at the Dragons, some of these guys that are 50-50 about staying, and the Dragons might potentially be trying to recruit him for a reasonable number, they might go, shit, I'd fucking
take
go play
less.
With Joey Manu.
And you take know? Less.
So
I think, what do you think the Roosters are offering him? That's the most important. Are they even near that? Just say it's 1.2. I know yours is 1.5.
Yep.
It's 1.2 for St. George. Where do you think the Roosters are at?
Well, see, the hard thing is with the Roosters, he's playing right centre. And you can't offer him.
Teddy's 31 next year.
Well, see, this is the tough conversation. And for me, and the reason I'd like to see him move is because I want to see Joey Manu play fullback consistently. I think it's a disservice for him to be playing right centre.
Mm.
Even though he does still get involved in some capacity, they're not going to move Teddy. Teddy's a favourite son. He's won two competitions with him. He's New South Wales. He's Australian captain.
He's fucking James Tedesco. He's a gun.
So there's a part of me that wants to see Joey Manu to move and go, give him, like, this is his team.
Does Joey Manu want to play fullback? Has he even come out and said, I want that? I don't think so.
But this is a part of it as well.
Because so when you said he's humble, he ain't going to say shit like that.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know what it's like when all this shit's down. It's like, Joey, what's Joey want to play? Yeah. If he's going around saying, I want to play fullback, he's leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's leaving. He's done enough for that club. He's won two premierships there. He's been a premier centre for the last, you know, six years he's been at the club. Like, he's done his job there.
Yeah.
And I think if he wanted to walk because he wants to play fullback, the Roosters won't even fight.
I think they'll fight. I think
I just don't. Well, they can't. What are they? Then that it'll make it really awkward with Teddy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a very difficult conversation. But if he wants to play right centre, if he still wants to do his job right now, he'll just stay at the Roosters.
Rooster for
fucking
life.
Call the fight off.
Yep.
He's like, he will never leave the Roosters because the Roosters are still a top eight team, potentially top four. Whoever they recruit, mate, Nick, don't fuck around.
If he's content playing right centre, then this conversation's over.
It's over.
No one's going to get
him. And I don't know how he feels, but I'm just thinking, I don't think he really cares about playing fullback. He's not coming out at all. There's never a rumour. The narrative's not there. He's
never going,
I can play fullback. Yeah, he can play fullback. He can play 5-8. He can play lock. He can play anywhere. He's a gun. But do I want to play fullback? A lot of fucking running.
Mm.
You know how fit you have to be. You can easily do it. But he's getting little calf injuries and all that sort of shit that always creep up on you when you're putting more miles into your legs. He's 27 years old. It's a fucking big change right now. He's been playing right centre for his whole career.
But this would be the time to maximise on a contract.
Yes, it has to be right
now.
Yeah. Yes. That's the only reason if he wants that 1.2, 1.3. Because the Roosters are going to like try and cap it and go, I think the best centres in the game probably going to get like 8.59.
So here's my point. I don't think he'll leave for 1.2. I think he's... No, I think you've got to blow him out of the water.
No,
I think it has to be 1.2.
We know that. We know that. He's not going to leave for like, for 1.2 because I think the Roosters will be around that.
We'll
be around about a mil.
I think they'll be 850.
I reckon they'll be about a mil.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, because he's golden boot last year. Let's not forget, forget about that. He's
the best
top five player in the world. He deserves $1 million a year.
Mm.
That's the starting point,
I think. That's the starting point for him.
I reckon to even start the conversation with the Roosters, it's a mil. That's what the manager's saying.
Yeah.
Because he's that sort of talent.
Otherwise, he's
I know there's others like, you know, there's other centres that are sort of like role players and defensive centres. Like, he's everything.
Yeah.
He is everything. And if Teddy goes down, he's there.
Yeah.
So regardless if
especially
he's not getting that fullback money, you can sort of get that money. He can play wing, centre, fullback and be dynamite and be top three in all positions. So
Yep. Big one. Big one. It's huge. Number two, Jerome Luai, 26 years old, three championships in a row, origin player. I believe he can play seven, what he's done at the Samoan team last year. There was some comments I was listening to on the way in on SEN, Mace. I'll paraphrase it again. Basically, they were at a sponsorship yesterday and Ivan was talking about Jerome's situation and said he'd obviously love to keep him. You know, he thinks he will stay, but also for some of those other teams, it'd be a bit of a risk because he's unproven at running a team as well.
Who said that, Ivan?
Ivan said that, but it was someone was recording it while they were at a sponsorship thing, so wasn't supposed to get out, but it was out of context, and it wasn't as bad as it sounded. But basically, saying he thinks Drone will play his best footy at the Panthers. He obviously wants him to keep him, but he understands that. There'll be a lot of money thrown at him. So
I understand what Cleary's saying, but if he didn't perform in the World Cup like that, I would be thinking what Cleary is. But like, he showed everybody he can run a team.
Yeah,
he got Samoa to probably taken out of context. I'm not going to do
that. Ivan also put that into the context. He said we've seen it for Samoa, but not for an extended period of time.
Exactly. Can you do it for 27 rounds?
Mm. Would that be your number two? Like, as in your top 10?
Easy.
Joey and Jerome.
Yep.
Number three, it's a toss-up between Tommy Didd and Ezra Mann.
Sorry, can I ask you a question? What would you do if you were Jerome Luai?
I would sign elsewhere for big money because I think his floor elsewhere would be 1.2, and he's 26 years old. He's won three competitions. He could potentially win four next year. So he's still going to go down in history.
Would you be thinking, I sort of want to run a team by myself.
Yeah, there's part of that as well.
Know, like he'd be 27 when he comes off proper contract for that next year. That's another 5-6 years. Obviously, it's another 2 more contracts.
And it depends on the sell from the other team. Mm. So if it is indeed a guy like Benji at the Tigers, I dare say Benji and the Tigers would be going after Jerome Hard. Still got that.
He can play 7. I reckon he's more of a 7.
Same.
He can just play anywhere.
And apparently, I heard – well, I remember when he played for the New Zealand Maldives, he spoke so highly about that Benji was one of his favourite players going up. Of course.
Everyone wanted to be Benji.
That marriage makes the most sense for me. And I think if I'm the Tigers, I'm offering him like 1.2, 1.3 to get him away from the from the Panthers.
You got it.
Ezra Mamm, 20 years old in January. Ezra Mamm's only 20. What? So he'll be 21 by the time you get him. And what did you – I think it's maybe recency bias that made him take over Tommy Dearden for me, but I got him at 3 over Tommy Dearden. And I think either player is going to get – their floor is also going to be a mil in this day and age.
Easy. All these guys that you mentioned, they've all got origin jerseys and they're all the face of their franchises. Mm. So mil, easy.
Ezra Mamm, what do? You think he stays? I think Ezra Mamm stays with the Broncos for less money.
Could he play 7?
I still got my question marks on that. That's the only one. I don't have a question mark over Dearden and Lawyer. I think they would be good to play 7 and they can control the team. Ezra, I still need to see a little bit more.
Because Dearden was a 7. He plays 6.
He was.
Come through as a 7, then he goes just a little bit wider because I don't think it's much of a change. Could you play left or right side and come over both?
For Tommy.
For Tommy and for Ezra.
Okay.
I don't think he doesn't stick on that left side. I'm pretty sure he can come off his right foot as well.
I've seen more traits from Tommy that make me think that he can play 7. He's more on ball, whereas I think Ezra has been playing those short sides really well. I haven't really seen Ezra flipping side to side.
He doesn't have to.
He does. He pushes through the middle really well, and he predominantly plays left edge at a very high clip.
But that's how they get coached, right?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure if you said, Ezra, you're halfback, do whatever you want.
Yep, you think he's capable of it.
He's capable of that. He's just a little footballer, man.
Yeah.
He plays eyes up football. He just takes the line on. He's a ball runner, great defender. He'd easily play half. It's not going to change his game.
And the last one, number 5, is for me, but he's got a player option, Cheese. Number 5. I'll just go to top 5.
Yeah, it's important.
He's 27, years old in May, and he's got a player option, so I've chucked him in there. If he does indeed take that option, I think he jumps both Tom Dearden and Ezra Mamm as the most sought after. He'd go to 3 for me.
Yep. Because he's important, man. Like a 9 like him, who's just a little dog, who just goes at everything, plays big minutes, runs like a truck, hits like a truck. You know, like he's great ball player. He just had a bit of like a disrupted season this year. The Roosters did. What do you expect from him? What did you expect from him? I expected this. If he didn't get injured, I would have expected more.
Yes, okay.
But I did expect this.
I agree with
that. A little bit of fucking all over the shop, right? Next year I expect the combination with Sam Walker.
No excuses.
With Sam Walker to be elite.
Yep. I'm with
Keary, elite. Collins, bang, everybody on board.
They've got so many good pieces.
Yeah.
Them and the Rabbitohs, it's a disservice for them if they don't go to another level this year.
Because they've got the forwards, man.
They do. Smokey, Jack Welsby, 22 years old in March. Right. 3-time Super League winner, 100-plus games in Super League and Challenge Cup, 8 tests for England. And Mace, on the weekend or the first game, he became England's youngest ever skipper. Obviously, he's really good leadership, really good team man. I've liked him for a while. He's very versatile.
He threw a fucking great ball.
6, 7, and 1.
I think it was last week or the week before.
I said fullback 7, 6.
Yeah, he can play. Yep. He can play. I watched him. He threw a mad ball. I think Kohler got caught in. Mad out
over the top, Tom Johnson. Top.
I was like, holy fuck. That's a nice ball. Man. That was a nice ball. That series has been all right, man. It's a bit hard for the Tongan boys to get up over there. It's November now. She's fucking cold, miserable. I think it was like 8 degrees on the weekend. Windy, soggy. Like, where else would you fucking rather not be?
How hard would you be training over there, you reckon?
Oh, my God. There's a lot of buffets. Get away from the boys. And that's what, it's probably – they're just – and England aren't playing the best footy either. It's pretty messy over there.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Lionel.
A bit Lionel, but it's they're playing to the conditions. And the Pommies just – they've got a bunch of dogs in their team as well.
Yep. All right, Mace, let's get to the odds for the international games to finish off this series. Both teams played each other on the weekend, but we'll get into how they look. I thought the Fiji team played really well against PNG. I thought PNG were going to beat them, especially over there in Port Moresby.
You said that.
But Fiji would be really good. Yeah. Let's start with Australia versus New Zealand. Australia $1.24 favourites with our friends and our partners at the tab. New Zealand $4.10. The line is 12.5. These odds are accurate as of the 2nd of November at 8:30 a.m. For the Kangaroos, some big ins. We said it, Valentine Holmes would keep his spot. Hamaso's been unreal. Dylan Edwards is on the wing. So Selwyn Cobbo does indeed miss out on the final. We have Tino Fasualoa-Awi and Payne Haas back into a team that already beat the Kiwis.
And Liam Martin.
Yeah. Sorry, you're right. And the Kiwis are as per.
That's crazy. Like, they got dominated last week, the Kiwis. I'm not sure if it's just subconsciously you knew that you had to just get through the game and just let's go all in for this week. So I think you're going to see a totally different team because they played pretty poor.
They did sort of blow them out right at the end
Yeah, I know, but it was just like New Zealand didn't play their best footy. It's hard with four and it's at nine. You know, it's not a genuine nine. If they had cheese there, it'd make a massive difference.
Do you think that's the difference now? Like two tries. So Benny Hunt obviously scores right at the death a couple of minutes ago. And then Cam Murray, we talked about that, six tries in six games.
Yeah.
He busts through at the end. So it's 36-18, realistically. It was 24-18 for long periods.
So that's what they'll be taking out of it.
Yeah.
And they missed a lot of opportunities. So they just need to execute. Now, if it's all in for the final, all they do had to just get here with no injuries. That's all you'd be thinking. Probably not going to beat Australia here. Australia can just, because they're always at that level. And, you know, like they get Tino, Payne Haas, and Liam Martin go out, and you put Jake Trbojevic, Collins, and I think, I'm not sure who started in the other second row. But they all just, you know, just plug and place, bang, straight in.
Liam Martin, Cam Murray.
Yeah, I know, but last week, who was the back rowers for Australia? It was Cam Murray and...
At the dog of all dogs.
Oh, the Cotter. The Cotter, the dog, yeah. So you put those guys in and they just you just don't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Because Jakey's just a different sort of forward. He ain't a pain ass that, but he just fucking cleans up everything in the ruck. Liam, Big Lindsay, shout out to Big Lindsay. Double.
Yeah,
got a double. Great work, big boy.
See Harry Graham talking about the avocados after the game as well. I think avocados are going through the roof. If Payne Haas doesn't have an avocado sponsor, then Lindsay Collins should. They should team up together because of, you know, the performance of Lindsay and Payne's name, obviously.
just fucking
Haas avocados. It just works.
Yeah, start your own business, boys. Yeah, so like look at that forward pack. It's exciting. So Ben Hunt's been starting, Tino, Payne Haas, Liam Martin, Cam Murray, and Isaiah. Get fucked.
It's the bench. Like,
look at the bench.
Paddy Carrigan.
You miss those guys. Like those guys come off. Like I think the Jersey Flegler started. Good on him for his first cap.
He's been kicked back. So, actually.
You might get a spot on the bench.
No, that was for last week.
No?
Yeah.
Are you on the bench this week?
Who, Jersey Flegler?
Yeah.
No, he's 18th.
In and out. Yeah. So you're going to have you get Carrigan back on. Lindsay Collins.
Cotter. Yeah.
You know, it's what do you do if you're New Zealand? You just got to – what they got to do, Fisher Harris and Liotta need to come out like they did in the grand final. They need to gallop Payne, Haas and Tino. So it's a bit different trying to hit Big Lindsay and Jake. It's a different sort of – like Jakey's so strong, deceivingly strong, right?
Yeah.
He always finds his front, can't really put a shot on him. You can put a shot on fucking Payne Haas if you try. I think Moses Liotta can. This ain't a lie. Go and do your best.
Yeah.
You know, but you can try and get at him.
Yeah, if you're Moses Liotta.
Only Moses Liotta can hit Payne Haas. Yeah. And that's only just.
Yeah.
And he can get it under Tino as well. But yeah, good luck. That's just me saying it.
12 and a half enough start. You think they're gonna beat him 13 plus Kangaroos? No.
It's played in Hamilton, right?
It is.
Is it miserable?
I'm
predicting it is.
I'm from Hamilton.
It's fucking summer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It should be all right.
Weather zone.
It should be all right. England are looking to go 3-0 against Tonga. Mace, $1.45 favourites. Tonga are $2.70. Mace, the line is 6.5. Do you think Tonga can get a bit of respect and get the last of the three games? Or do you think England will go clean sweep?
Oh, England can sweep him. But Tonga has so much potential. They've just been really off.
They're just missing in the halves.
Yeah, they are. And it's telling. I mean, Lola Hare at six. I mean, It's just not working. Mm. Not working. Something's off a little bit.
He's a journeyman, good player. Played for a lot of, you know, played a lot of NRL and then heaps of Super League.
Talent wise, he's.
But you need an emerging half here. So you need one of these either.
Katoa there. He's Katoa. Been
you need
right.
Katoa to kick on and because he shows signs of it. Yeah. He's come from a good system. Wayne looks like he's taking his time with him and not rushing him as well. So
Frizzell played outstanding on the weekend. Yeah. I think it's 80 minutes. His stats would have been out of control. But, you know, you got Fanua Blake in there, Olakau'atu, Kaloa Matangi, Harvili. It's a fucking decent team there.
Yeah.
You know, like a team that you look at their pack and you go, they should dominate. But it's a slow track, right? Yeah. I reckon if it was played over here, played real dry and suit. Dry, it would suit the way the Tongans play.
Yeah.
Over there, none of these boys had about 6 or 7 weeks off. Pretty sure they weren't doing preseason. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and then most of the Pommies, they've all played in the grand final or like very deep runs, had a couple of weeks off and then they played.
Yeah.
So they're match fit. You know, the Tongan boys aren't match fit. So it's a big difference.
Where is the position? Sorry, mate. It's got
to... I think Tonga will get him. Actually, Tonga will get him in this last one.
Yeah, nice.
They'll work it out.
The list still haven't come out for them. That's why we can't find them. They always take a little bit longer over there for some reason. Pacific Championships, there we go. All right, the last game is Fiji versus the Kumuls. Fiji were impressive. Did a bit of a number on the Kumuls in the end after Kumuls started so well. Do you think the Kumuls can get them back? The game is again at Port Moresby.
They're playing each other again.
Yep. Our friends, our partners at the Tab have Fiji, $1.62 favourites, PNG, $2.30. I'm actually going to have a little bit on that. I think the Kumuls can bounce back and get the win over them after being disappointing.
I don't think so. No.
Line 3.5.
They look awful. I'm not sure why. And everything to play for. All saying that, like, do they have everything to play for? Like, I know they're home and everything like that, but they're very passionate, but you're going to play them again.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Like, so I think bounce back.
So one of these teams are just off a little bit. All you have to do is be off 5% and that other team be up and you just get blown out because of the games like this. It's hard to get up for these. I know it's a test and everyone's like, it shouldn't be hard to get up. Yeah, like sometimes when you're playing a team the next week, I don't think I've ever been in this position before.
Yeah, I can't
like,
think of it.
Fuck, this would suck.
Dead rubber's been an actual, different. That's weird, yeah.
Did you not, when they worked this out, did they not think this was going to happen? They think fucking Fiji was going to play Australia in the final?
No, sorry, because it's
Samoa?
Three.
You think Samoa was going to, like, no. 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 Yeah. Not, no okay, never.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be all right, weather even in Hamilton.
So okay.
Slight chance of rain. There's a slight chance of rain every day in New Zealand.
Well, that brings me to my bet. My bet's friend's bet with our friends, our partners at the Tab. I'm going Joey Manu, the $1.5 million man, to score in the first 60 minutes.
If you get him that deal, you're the best.
And I reckon he's worth more, to be fair. And I'm going to go New Zealand plus 12.5. So Australia have to beat Australia by more than 13. Our traders at the Tab have got a market of $7 for us. You can find that in our Bets Friends channel. All right, mates, and we're going to be down in Melbourne with our friends, our partners at the Tab. We're going to be updating our tips throughout the day. But for the main race, the Derby, 2,500, who do you like in that race, mate?
I like the Dad.
Mm.
I like that. Okay. I did a session with Braithen Asa. Shout out to Braithen. Strong yep. Dad.
Strong
Something
Dad.
Like the Dad. The
okay.
Little omen there.
Love omen.
Braith will be down there.
Yep. Braith will be down there. So we'll catch up with the boys, even Red Daddy. I'm going to go Apulia. Mark Zara is on fire at the moment. Riff Rocket's the favourite and deservedly so, $1.90. But maybe we get some information while we're down there. Yeah, so if you're watching us on the socials, we're going to be around some high rollers, Mace. We're going to be around, but you always get really good mail on the day. So watch us on the socials. We'll be sharing with the Tab app, Levels Network. And if you see us down there, you've got to be in the marquee too, players only. There's levels to this shit.
Good luck.
Come and see us and have a picture and looking forward to it. Melbourne, Derby Day, Tab, Levels Network. Let's go. And as always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season and spring carnival season, Mace, racing season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. See you down at Melbourne
I can't wait,
on the weekend.
Man.
Let's go.